The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, with budget negotiations ongoing, the introduction of a third rate of income tax of 30%, we're told, is being considered. What benefits would it bring? Would it benefit lower income households? To get into this, I'm joined now by Senior Research Officer at the ESRI, Dr. Corina Dourley, and by the CEO of ISMEI, Neil MacDonald. Good morning and welcome. First of all, Corina, spell out the numbers for us, because, you know, this surplus of 5 billion, it seems like a lot of money. How far would it go?
I mean, it does seem like a lot of money. And I suppose the good news is that the economy is in quite a strong position at the moment, despite all of the uncertainty. We're in a position of full employment, tax revenues are strong, but there are a couple of qualifications to this. So firstly, some of the increase in tax revenue is actually due to inflation. So the real value of those receipts is lower than it otherwise would be. And second, there's an over-reliance of the public finances on corporation tax receipts. So the Irish Fiscal Council have sort of repeatedly warned about this, and it has in fact been acknowledged by government that they do need to reduce their reliance on corporation tax receipts. So we really need to be very careful and cautious about how that money is spent. So it's important that it's not used for day-to-day spending. In case some of those receipts dry up in years ahead and we can no longer afford that day-to-day spending. And I suppose a tax cut would definitely come under that bracket of day-to-day spending. Yeah.
A tax cut, though, can be reversed, however subtly, whereas, say, if you pile it into social welfare, that's much harder to take back.
Arguably, yes. So, I mean, the Fiscal Council recommend that any of the excess revenue that, you know, might be considered more uncertain than the rest shouldn't actually be used for any day-to-day spending. Social welfare, tax, anything should be put into a rainy day fund or used for capital investment projects.
Yeah. So what would it cost to do this 30% middle rate? I mean, obviously, we'd have to know a bit more about the bands and so on, when it would kick in and how wide the band would be.
Exactly. So it's very hard to put a cost on it without knowing the details of the scheme. But what we do know is that it would mainly benefit middle and high income taxpayers. So at the moment, relative to, let's say, other European countries, low income workers in Ireland pay relatively less tax and high income workers pay relatively more tax. So introducing a 30% band, depending on the parameters and so on, would sort of reduce this higher burden on middle and higher income households, which would improve their standard of living and potentially increase work incentives.
Mm. I remember when the USC was introduced, the idea was that it was taken from before any allowances were made or deducted from your income. So it was a charge at the top. And the argument was made that everybody, irrespective of how little they earned, would pay a tiny amount if you earn a small amount of money. But the big guys who had all sorts of schemes and scams to dodge tax, they would end up paying the USC as well. But we have narrowed the base of USC over the years, excluding more and more people on lower incomes. And you're wondering, was that the right thing to do?
And, you know, it's a good question. So, I mean, these decisions are made against lots of competing interests, and it's ultimately a political decision where the threshold stands. But I would say that, you know, if the intention is to target middle income households here, a 30% tax rate is probably not the most efficient way to do it, because it also benefits high income taxpayers. And in the current context of inflationary pressures and so on, that's really not the priority. The priority should be low-income households, middle-income households, if we can target them accurately. Actually, the USC would be a very good way to do that. If we could increase the USC threshold or even PRSI thresholds, that would be a less costly way to more accurately target middle-income workers.
Okay. Well, let's get Neil MacDonald's take on this. Neil, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So a 30% rate, a middle rate, it kind of is attractive on the face of it, and it's a very clear and simple political message rather than maybe something a little more sophisticated and nuanced.
Well, I mean, it would have to be defined where it, the income rate it applies from and to. And while I understand Corina's point there that these things only benefit higher and middle and higher income earners, The unfortunate problem with Ireland is not that we pay high marginal tax rates, because we don't. Our 40% rate is not a high rate by international comparison. But it's the rate at which it kicks in, the income level at which it kicks in at €36,800 is incredibly low by international standards. But the other difficulty, which unfortunately Karina didn't point to, but you did allude to, the USC may be very unpopular, but it is very fair, and it does target people across the income spectrum. In Ireland, we have a very large number of people who don't pay any income tax at all, you know, 750,000 or so. And to put it very simply, and this is why we do need to start addressing those middle-income earners in particular, they start paying, you know, if you're at the standard rate cut-off point of €36,800, you're paying marginal deductions of 48.5%. If you're just €800 below that, you're paying marginal deductions in terms of PAYE, PRSI and USC of 28.5%. So in other words, you earn another €800 and the tax man starts taking practically half of what you earn.
Of the extra bit. I mean,
of your marginal income. Yeah. But that's a really, really significant slice for people who are earning 35,000, 36,000 euro, because it really disincentivizes them. And the last thing I'll say, Pat, but it's very important to remember, that people in cities, single earners, lose access to social and affordable housing at a gross income of €35,000. So we really disincentivize people from earning more money in this country.
Yeah. So in simple terms, you get a raise of 3,600 from your employer and you think, yippee, that's absolutely fantastic. I have another 300 a month to help pay my bills. But you don't. You've only 150 a month. That's the reality of our tax system. So the way to address this, obviously, would be to extend the bans.
That would make sense. We know, and we absolutely appreciate that it's very expensive to do so. But that's a function of the way we have let our tax system develop. Unfortunately, 61% of our income tax comes from people earning more than 80,000. And believe it or not, 50%. Or almost 50% of our income tax comes from people making over €100,000 a year. That's a very small tax base, but they pay most of the tax. And that's why we need to see a more holistic tax system. Not saying that, you know, low income earners should pay half their income in tax, but we have a disproportionately concentrated tax base.
Okay, so back to you, Karina, the business of expanding the tax bans, and inflation alone should demand that happens, because suddenly your money is worth less than it was, but you're still paying the same kind of tax rate. So how much would it cost to expand the bans, to bring that up maybe to 50,000 before you kick in with the higher rate? And even by UK standards, that would be low.
Yeah, so again, we did do some work on this at the SRI in 2019. We looked at how much it would have cost to just index the tax bans by inflation rather than the actual changes that came in during that budget. I think the cost was something like about half of what was available for spending in the budget. Now, obviously, things have changed now and this year. We're in an environment of very, very high inflation. But I think indexation at the very least should be on the table for this year's budget. And I think it actually will be. So indexation just means that the tax thresholds and also welfare payments would be increased in line with inflation. So that, for example, if you receive a pay rise as compensation for the rising cost of living, you're not going to be penalised by paying relatively more tax than last year.
Yeah, I mean, if they put things like indexation in, as we've been talking about index linking pensions to inflation and all of that, but if they put index linking in to all of these measures, taxation measures, it would take away a lot of the, if you like, the populist opportunities to politicians at budget time to do spectacular things. Also, it would insulate them from maybe having to make hard decisions, because key decisions would already be made. But what it would do is focus their minds on how wisely they spend our money. I mean, when I saw the estimates for Metro North, wildly varying from, you know, under 10 billion to 20 whatever billion. I just thought, do these people know what they're at all? A children's hospital should have cost less than a billion, well north of 2 billion by the time it's opened. You know, they don't spend our money well. And this kind of measure would force them to spend our money at least a bit, little bit better than they're spending it at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose if you have a system where you kind of commit to automatically indexing tax bands and benefits in line with inflation, and that exists in many countries, if there is any deviation from that, it requires thought and justification, right? So you need to make a case for why we're not going to do it this year. It does also, on the other hand, leave less money available for discretionary measures, so targeting certain groups of the population. But I think the big advantage to indexation is the certainty it brings to people. So both to those on social welfare and to workers, that the real value of their money is not going to decrease from year to year because of sluggish changes in the tax system or bracket creep.
Yeah. And of course, you can put a buffer, a time buffer in, because you can have temporary inflation. And we hope that due to the war in Ukraine, that fuel inflation, which feeds into the overall inflation figure, that is a temporary phenomenon. So there would be no point necessarily in inflating everything to correspond with a temporary blip in a commodity such as energy.
I mean, there's certainly a case for more targeted and temporary measures for certain categories like that, like fuel inflation. And I think that has sort of been the practice so far, you know, an extra payment on the fuel allowance or temporary decreases in the VAT on fuel and things like that. So yes, I mean, there's also scope for temporary measures for sort of blips like that. But in the longer term, the kind of, I suppose, the decision to impose indexation in the longer term does bring more certainty.
And finally, Neil, the whole question of take-home pay. Often we hear figures touted about teachers in the UK earning less than teachers here, and the same with nurses, doctors and so on. So why do they go if the money here is better? It really is all about the take-home pay, is it not?
Yes, that is a real influencer of behaviour. And, you know, with all the stuff we hear about employers and jobs and full employment, you know, one of the big complaints we're getting from employers at the moment is that workers don't wish to work a full-time week. And it appears that a lot of that behaviour is driven by the standard rate cut-off point. I'd also make the point, as Carina talks about indexation, which is important, what we'd like to focus on, rather than indexation due to, you know, cost of living, is to look at, you know, where you enter the top rate of tax relative to the average industrial wage. And at the moment, the average industrial wage in Ireland is 48,000, just under 48,800. You go on to the top rate of tax at 36,800, almost 9,000 euro before. That wasn't the way it was for years and years and years. But now we have people going on to the top rate of tax way below the average industrial wage, and it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, as I say, it would put manners on governments of whatever hue if that indexation situation was put in and proper bans established for income tax, so that they would have to be much more careful rather than profligate in the way they spend our money. My guests, Dr. Carina Dourley, Senior Researcher at the ESRI, and Neil MacDonald, CEO of ISME. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.